KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. Talk lines are open at 884-9910 if you'd like to check in with my guest, who I have right now, if you'd like to ask a question. And that's what we're doing. We are just going to continue to ask questions here at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, your live and local FM talk show and talk station. And it doesn't matter where you're from. Lyon, Douglas, Churchill, the list goes on and on. Because we're all into this together. We are Northern Nevada. Joining me right now is Melissa Clement. Did I say that right, Clement? Okay.
Whichever way you want to do it is fine.
Clement? What?
Just call me for lunch, right?
All right. Melissa's here. Nevada Right to Life. Melissa, thank you so much for coming in. First off, tell me about the organization.
Oh, absolutely. Nevada Right to Life has been in Nevada since about 1968. You know, there were some great volunteers who were passionate about the issue of abortion. They could see the direction that the country was going, and it scared them. And it scared them for society, for their daughters. And they joined together and created a couple of organizations, one of which is Nevada Right to Life, designed to first educate our community about the issues of life, the sanctity of life from conception to natural death, and then also to advocate for life in Carson City, in Washington, D.C., and also to identify and train candidates who would stand for life, because life is under assault. It was in 1968, even more so now.
Yeah. You know, I really thought with the placement of Roe versus Wade, okay, I know that I go round and round with Ken Gray on this because we do have a difference of opinion. I come more from that side that, you know, I used to work at Family Planning. I used to work at the Feminist Women's Healthcare Center. And so I know that side of it.
Sure.
And I thought, okay, well, this will just appease everybody.
I always
thought the length of time was a little long in my, you know, I think it should be more like, you know, 10 weeks or something. That, okay, so we're even on both sides. Mm-hmm. Everybody's happy.
Right.
Don't rock the boat. But then that boat started rocking recently.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, quite honestly, as anybody who knows me for any amount of time, I was on the exact opposite side of this issue for it's now not most of my life, because I made a big conversion after my first pregnancy. But I was one of those people who thought, you know, I could never have an abortion, but who am I to judge?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got involved in this movement, until I found that, yes, it's a life. I mean, I'd been sold that lie like everybody had our age, that it's nothing but a clump of tissue. Mm-hmm. But funny thing, it's not religion, but science has taught us that this is an independent person. And this is a human life, and it's from the very get-go. You know, and I started at the same place where I thought, well, it can't be, you know, partial birth abortion is really horrible. But then as I kept thinking about it, it becomes, this is a human rights issue for me. Mm-hmm. And for so many people, that this is a person who's just a lot smaller than us. We looked exactly the same as this little being. And as I think it was George Bush who said, every life should be welcomed into life and protected by law. And that's what I work for. But you're right. The last year has just gone a little bit nuts.
No. It's gone a lot nuts.
Exactly.
I mean, when you look at, what some states are embracing as literal murder.
Absolutely.
That, you know, after the birth.
Right.
That just let it sit there and, you know, if it doesn't cry, just let it go.
Absolutely. Well, and even if it is crying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the horrific thing. And, you know, for the last 20 years that I've been doing this, I have been saying that abortion is legal in the United States for all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason whatsoever. And many people have scoffed and said, no, that's not true. You're lying. I've had pro-life people and pro-abortion people tell me I'm lying. But if, you know, sadly, I've been proven correct in the last year, because that is the end goal. It is to dehumanize a child. And
people,
exactly, because it is at every stage, every age and every stage is under attack right now. And it basically becomes the bigger bully gets to make the rules. And right now, it is a horribly big, ugly female bully that we're up against. And that's what's so sad, is that it's women that are pushing this incredibly insane and inhumane set of laws. And we as women should be standing up for female unborn. And then also all the women, I mean, we all have friends. Many of us have had abortions. It's a painful thing that we carry around for the rest of our lives. And there's one side of this argument that will never admit that that's the case.
Yeah.
And so millions of women struggle with this every day. They think about it every day. And that right there, the innocent babies who are lost keep me up at night, but the women who have to walk around with this cross, with this weight that they feel they can't even tell somebody about, that's what really upsets me.
You know, it's interesting. You used the term that I've just been wondering about, weird stuff. And people think, gosh, that's what you think about? So we look at science and we get so caught up in the moment that a face transplant not too long ago. Woo! Can you believe that? They actually transplanted a face and brain transplant. Mm-hmm. And the scientific advances that have come our way in just this last generation. Why is it no one has questioned the thought of a pregnancy transplant? If you don't want to be pregnant, that's completely understandable. If you feel it was a mistake, if you feel that, you know, you can't handle this or you can't take it to term, why is it we can create embryos in a lab and yet this one can't be moved from one woman to another, a woman who wants to carry it, a woman who will embrace the journey, but rather that, see, you're looking, it's like, wow. That
is an interesting idea, and I can't see why that would be wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, ethically, that wouldn't be an issue. It's just a very early adoption.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, where's the technology?
Yeah.
So maybe, okay, so there's got to be a scientist. There's got to be a medical person that's up at UNR listening right now. This is your job. Find the technology to do this, because that's exactly right. That would
We're challenging you. I mean, people don't talk about stuff like this.
Yeah.
It's either you kill it or you have it.
Right.
And or you can give it up for adoption after you have it.
And, you know, that seems like a pretty elegant solution that recognizes the humanity of both and the rights of both, and weighs it in a good way. So I agree.
Now, when I worked at family planning, you have to understand, family planning is different from Planned Parenthood. I had one woman just get all over me the other day. It's like, no, family planning was run by the state, and it was over in California. And by law, as a counselor, whenever I did a pregnancy test for a young woman, and let me tell you, that's why I got out of the business, because for a long time, I was the only one able to do the pregnancy tests and the counseling. And I'm what do they call that, an empath? Or I soak up everybody's emotions around me. And it was just too hard to do that anymore, because let me tell you, people that come into family planning to have pregnancy tests do not want to be pregnant. Mm. I had 13-year-old girls begging me to come home with them and tell their parents. It was horrific for me, and I had to stop. But by law, I had to explain fully every single option that was available to them. Mm-hmm. I had to make sure they understood about adoption. I had to make sure they understood about abortion. I made sure that they understood that if they had it, give them all of these pamphlets for resources. Mm-hmm. But for some reason nowadays, the organization that gets all the money from the state
right.
to do all this doesn't have to do that.
Absolutely. And not only that, they get money to go into our schools to do the same thing. And, you know, the family planning is such a misnomer because generally, especially when it's with Planned Parenthood, there's going to be very little family involved. Mm-hmm. Because number one, they are not going to, they're going to tell a young girl that her parents don't need to be involved and how she can get around all of that. And they're going to tell these young people that their choices are they have three choices, but only one is really a good one because the others will challenge their futures. It won't be the best choice. So you're right, and you know, and then not only that, they also you have organizations like the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in Reno, mm-hmm. where they will give the other options of carrying the baby and adopting and all that kind of stuff, provide these young women with resources. Planned Parenthood and their allies in the legislature are hell-bent to shut them down because they're taking a little bit of the profits away from them. Because at the end of the day, this is all about money, every last bit of it.
All of it.
And
the homeless issue, the climate issue, the pregnancy issue, it's all about money.
Money and power.
Mm-hmm. And all right. Melissa Clement is my guest today. Right to Life, Nevada Right to Life. We'll be right back after this on KKFT 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here. KKFT 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, your talk lines for Northern Nevada. Your voice is at 884-9910, whatever you would like to talk about. And also Monica at 991fmtalk.com. It's interesting. My guest with me right now is Melissa Clement with Nevada Right to Life. And Melissa, something that I've picked up on is literally hitting the younger generation, because they don't, and I'm talking the younger generation, I'm talking about elementary school students. Mm-hmm. Textbooks are going to be coming out very shortly with capitalism is racist. We used to think that it was the liberal universities who were putting out all of these ideas. Now we find out that it's actually in our education system.
Right.
It's going after young teens. Mm-hmm. Who haven't had the experiences, who haven't heard the stories, to kind of open the door up and sexualize them.
Absolutely, because, you know, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. And that's what, was it Marx or was it Stalin who said that? And that is exactly right. And that is the genesis of our problem. We have to reclaim our schools. Because our schools have turned from education
to indoctrination.
To indoctrination, absolutely. And it is everything. It is capitalism. It is all the things that you and I grew up with, knowing that we are the luckiest people to have had the good fortune to be born in this nation at this time. That we have freedoms that nobody else has in the whole entire world. And yet We've got young people that are coming up, and they basically want to burn the place down.
Yeah.
They want to throw every sacrifice that my parents, your parents, our grandparents, everybody, all of these men and women gave to make this country the biggest possibility generator.
It even seems now that even if it is your child, it doesn't seem to matter.
No, they have complete control, and they will, you know, it's hard for a parent to be able to watch every single class, be in every single class, because we know the bad stuff's happening in the SHARE program. We know that they are indoctrinating our kids with Planned Parenthood paraphernalia and thoughts and all that kind of stuff. But what's going on in the math class? We're not thinking, oh, gee, what are they talking about in geometry? But they're talking about it there, too.
That's interesting, because I just had I started a Facebook page called WCSD Rants and Raves. Mm-hmm. And one of the parents was actually ranting, can somebody tell me why I cannot walk my child into, I want to say, Alice Maxwell? It's the Alice school that we have here. Can't even walk her kindergartner, you know, to class.
Right.
How can a school say you as a parent cannot walk your child
Absolutely.
To class?
Absolutely. And it's like they own our children. And, you know, I've done the full gamut of educational choices throughout my parenting career. And I'll tell you what, there's only one way that you can actually control what your kids see and hear. And that's too bad, because one of the great things about our country, it has been our public school system in the past,
yeah.
has been our private school system in the past.
Were you surprised with all of the parents that showed up at these meetings? They actually started to show up at the Washoe County
Absolutely.
School District at the Board of Trustees meetings, that they still passed the SHARE program?
Well, let me tell you, I don't know if you know this, but there was one SHARE meeting that was showing the curriculum to parents. And this was in the middle of the summer, and 200, if not more, mostly Latino parents showed up, many of whom couldn't speak English. And you know, with a lot of these families, it's going to take them a lot to come out, because they have challenges you and I don't have to worry about. We don't
Yeah.
have to worry about whether or not we're, you know, we're legally here. But these parents showed up, 200 of them. Number one, Washoe County School District didn't have an interpreter available. Number two, Washoe County did not have the curriculum available in Spanish. Yet they went ahead, even though these parents were there, and they were saying, no, don't do this to our kids. Washoe County School District went ahead and passed that curriculum. They voted yes on every single one of the lessons, except for one, to placate parents. And then they waited, you know, and then passed that same one, made it worse at the next meeting.
Well, and it was sad, because I kept putting the curriculum online and people would say it was a joke. They would not believe that this is what the Washoe County School District was going to be teaching kids through
Absolutely.
The SHARE program.
Absolutely.
We've only got a couple of minutes here. What do you want people to do, and can we reverse this?
Absolutely. You know, I am always an optimist. We can always make things better. And this last legislature, we got hammered. Mm-hmm. Life went down swinging, but we took some serious hits. The legislature passed the Abortionist Protection Act, which basically eliminated a lot of what women, the informed consent, you know, mm-hmm. we were talking about this a little earlier, the information about what happens when you have an abortion, what the physical and the mental issues you may face. They took that out of law. They took the requirement for doctors to verify a woman's age. Now, you know, if it's a woman my age, no big deal. But if it's an 11-year-old woman, that doctor doesn't have to verify her age. He also doesn't have to let any CPS know. He doesn't have to let the parents know. Nobody has eyes on that girl.
Yeah.
And this is my number one priority, and has been since my daughter was 4 years old, 16 years ago, that our girls in the state of Nevada have to be protected from sex traffickers. We've got the worst child sex trafficking record yeah. in the country. And yet Democrats went out and they eliminated every single way that we could protect women from not only from child predators, but also just they eliminated a portion of law that required that the doctor make sure she's not being coerced into an abortion. Yeah. That there's not a boyfriend or a husband that's going to beat the crap out of her. Excuse me.
And, I use that all the time. And as we become more like California, Gavin Newsom just passed that universities now have to provide the morning after pill. So
No. It's the medical abortion.
The medical abortion.
Which is even worse than the morning after pill. A medical abortion is basically, and this is such a gross term, but it is the most accurate. It's called a toilet bowl abortion because you get a pill, mm-hmm. and then you go home and you deliver that baby in your toilet.
Wow.
What could possibly go wrong, Monica? And yet Gavin Newsom, great guy that he has required the state of California to pay for it, and every state or state institution of higher education has to provide it. Sick. And this is helping women how?
And we have to make sure that we turn back the page.
Absolutely.
Of being California here. Where can people go to voice their opinion and support and help you make a difference?
Please join us on NevadaRightsLife.org. Sign up for our newsletters. And also, we've got a pretty active Facebook page, NevadaRightsLife.org. That's where you're going to get the most breaking news. That's where you're going to get information that we want you to pass on to others. And here's the deal. At the end of the day, we lost this last election. We can't afford to ever lose another one here.
Yeah.
And that means you have to, people have to vote for President Trump, the most pro-life president in our nation has ever seen. People have to vote for school board members that are going to make our schools educating schools rather than indoctrinating schools. Have to vote for throw every last Democrat out of Carson City, with the exception of Marsha Washington down in Las Vegas, who was the most pro-life vote we had. So, right. But other than that, the bomb's got to go.
All right. And you got to come back with Karen Anglin, and we're going to talk more about the SHARE program.
Absolutely.
And how we can fix the Washoe County School District.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Melissa Clement, my guest, Nevada Right to Life. Thank you so much. What do you think about this? Are they taking over the schools? Are they taking over the kids? It's all indoctrination, and it all works together. 884-9010, we are the home of Fox News, and here they are on KKFT. KKFT, it's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 FM. 99.1 FM Talk. Your live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. You know, everyone in Northern Nevada is concerned. Well, I guess I shouldn't use the term everyone, because the liberal left, they're embracing it. Boy, are they embracing it. They're eating it up like you wouldn't believe. But the more sensible people who live here in Nevada live here for a reason. It's called quality of life. The beauty of our area. Somebody was talking about, you have to go to the Ruby Mountains or go out to this valley and see the color changes. And I look at my backyard. I look at the parks and the golf courses and the schools around us. And I can see the color changes and I can see the beauty that we have here along the Truckee River. But unless we all get involved, we're just going to continue to see that beauty deteriorating. The laws that are put in place to contain us, to control us, the taxes that are put in place to contain and control us, being able to afford to put gas in your vehicle, being able to drive your vehicle, you're not going to be able to commute anymore. If we let the legislature have their way and do this whole mileage thing, budgets need to be looked at. Belts need to be tightened. And people who are elected representatives need to stop putting their hands in your pockets. I had someone who was complaining about the event that took place on Friday, moving the homeless out of Pickett Park legally with the law, one law enforcement officer who's, I don't know if he's in charge of it or whatnot, but who handles stuff like that. I found it very interesting. Once again, he has no problem talking to the RGJ, but won't go on the air with me. Imagine that. People not doing their jobs, not being allowed to speak in the open. Imagine that. For all the people who want to make a difference, you can. They just have to be the right differences for us. People can't even decide here if Reno and Washoe County is blue or red. Republicans say it's red. They show numbers. Democrats say it's blue. They show numbers. Trust me, I've worked with enough ratings and Nielsen reports and things like that. Everybody can always find a number to show they're right and they're number one. There's always a category out there that they can cite. It's just like the argument with the Washoe County School District. Are we third in the country? Or are we 48th? It depends on the number and the statistics that you look at. Just make sure you're looking at the right ones. So let me tell you this. The next time you start getting worked up about an issue, or let me ask you this, what are you going to do about it? There are issues going on in every single county. People wanting to start a business and the hardcore locals saying, no, we don't want that in their area, or we don't want that in our area. At some point, we're going to have to stop this not in my backyard if we're going to fix things. We're going to have to stop this not my problem, not my issue, not my, you know, not my pasture, not my horse, Pucky. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. It's your live and local FM talk show. So let's go back to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Kelly this morning. Hi, Kelly. What would you like to talk about?
I just want to thank you for your stellar guests and topics, and that the nervous system in a fetus is fully developed at 8 weeks. And so, yeah. Pro-life all the way, and thanks for putting that out on the air. And I've seen something in the Tahoe Daily Tribune for the Friday, October 11th edition, page 3, that made my hair stand up. And so I faxed this document to the El Dorado County Sheriff's Office and to the California State Auditor, and that's where you go for reporting fraud, waste, abuse, or mismanagement of public or state funds. And this is a South Lake Tahoe first responders to train for a mass casualty incident. And this is supposed to take place tomorrow, Wednesday the 16th, from 3:30 to 7 p.m., and involves the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Lake Tahoe Unified School District, Cal Tahoe, JPA, Barton Health, and Tahoe Fire Rescue, the South Lake Tahoe Police Department, and it just reeks of Sandy Hook or Bundy Ranch. And if there's a fax number available, I'm happy to fax it to you, or you can probably look it up online. But I quit the computer because it's just more trouble than it's worth.
I am trying to think, and
sorry about that. I'm still here.
Had to reach over and grab one of my business cards because, yes, please fax that to 882-3961.
Okay.
775-882-3961? Yes, that is our fax number.
Okay, thank you so much for everything.
I definitely want to see that, Kelly.
And an odd fact is that yesterday, John Stattmiller from Republic Broadcasting Network out of Round Rock, Texas, was out sick yesterday, and you were too. And so if you're praying, folks, you listeners out there, you lift these hosts and hostesses up in prayer, and if not, well, go find somebody that does and let them know about it. And thank you so
Kelly,
much again.
Thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to the next caller, Michael. Hi, Michael. What would you like to talk about today?
Hi, Monica. This is Michael. We talked a couple of weeks ago when I told you that we were attempting to get the Washoe County commissioners to move a meeting that could be any time during the day to a designated time, preferably after 6 p.m. I just wanted to let you know they posted. I received a letter in the mail because I'm involved in what's going on because it's over my back fence. And they posted the letter and said that they're happy to make sure that the item that's in question here, which is a amendment change to the density, will not happen before 3 p.m. on October the 22nd.
So still while people are working?
Why, of course.
Yeah. They don't want to. It's just like, hey, we don't work weekends. We don't want to work. We don't want to be here after 6 o'clock. So I am so sorry to hear that, Michael. What area do you live in? What density issue is it?
Well, they want to go to they had a property that was first of all, I'm in Red Rock in the Silver Knolls area. And they initially was approved for 650 houses on 780 acres. And the neighborhood and the builder had worked to come to that agreement. They asked for an extension on it. And then after they got the extension granted from commission, they met with the neighbors a little bit and talked about it. And their plan wasn't exactly what they had gone to commission and talked about. And then their next big move was to go for an amendment change and go to 2,400 houses on the same property. And we're low density.
Isn't it amazing how when people aren't paying attention, Michael, these numbers keep changing? It just makes you wonder what deal's being made.
Well, last night I sat at a CAB meeting where there's two developers that want to go ahead and as of October the 10th, there's a new Washoe County master plan. So this is basically the first meetings that have happened since the new master plan has been adopted. And last night I had two people that want to go ahead and do a master plan amendment again to change their densities. So I talked and I said, I don't get it. You people come here, you buy the property, you do this, you do that, you know how it's zoned, and the first thing you want to do is change the way it's zoned. I said, when was the last time we came to a meeting and you guys had something that fit the property that you'd talked to the neighbors about and you were willing to work with your neighbors, and so you didn't have all this pushback?
Because somebody redid the numbers and they figured they could get more money out of it.
Well, unfortunately, and the thing of it is that, you know, sometimes it's not about money. How about a quality of life?
Exactly, Michael. Exactly. My big concern, Michael, is all of these things are being put in place because of a forecaster's estimate of what we're going to need in the future. And right now, those numbers are being based on Tesla and Panasonic and the jobs coming into the area. And Tesla and Panasonic are in arguments and, you know, moving stuff to China. So our bubble is going to burst here really soon, and you can thank those in the elected official seats or the elected representative seats, because this place is not going to be in the future what it is right now, and we have to fight for it.
What we had 10 years ago and 20 years ago, after the last bubble burst, you know, they kind of learned their lesson. But in the last 3 to 4 years, they've forgotten that lesson. Last night on 395 North up by Golden and Lemon Valley, they closed the frontage road that goes from Golden Valley to Lemon Valley because they're doing some work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the delays on 395 North were incredible. And, you know, it just lets you know how bad it really is. You know, the sewer plant's at capacity, and they're still building houses and turning on lights and flushing toilets. Okay? Silver Lake, as you know from Tammy and the other people out there, is at capacity,
yep.
And they're still dumping 200,000 more gallons in there a day than they're supposed to. Okay? Winter's coming. If they keep that up, who knows what's going to be left?
Yep. Okay, I have to take a break because I want to say something really bad, but I got to do it after. Thank you so much for the phone call. And remember, this is your place to talk. This is your voice. It's live and local on KKFT 92.3 FM in Yerington and Smith Valley and 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk and Monica at 991FMTalk.com. 884-9910. Let's go to the phone lines and check in with Ryan this morning. What do you want to talk about, Ryan?
Well, just to add on to those points out there, the guy I was talking about, because my dad lives out there, and that's they own water through the wells and also the septic tanks. So before any new building has to be done, they have to connect them to the sewer system and to get them onto to the actual water, like regular water, instead of going through the well tanks and through the septic system, because the ground's at a point where it can't hold it anymore.
Yeah. And that's the thing, as you see along 395, when my husband and I drove out there last Sunday, all of the development with those big warehouses and things that's going on out there, that's just going to continue to make it worse. There's no place for that water to go.
Nope. And then one more thing. On the backside of Golden Valley and Lemon, that whole Golden Valley near the Furnace Road, that's because they're doing construction on Buck and North Hills Drive to make it to, they have to redo it, because when they did it the first time, they completely messed it up. So they're redoing, I think, like the sidewalks and the gutters to make it more up to ADA compliant, to make it more better. And like it's a pain in the butt now, but because of the fact that the North Valleys is growing so fast, they just have to expand that furnace road to like freelance, and that's what they're doing right now. And you're going to see that with the back with like old 395 as well, like by the Amazon facility, that's going to be expanded. So that's just, you know, some things. Okay. Thanks, Monica. Yeah.
Ryan, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And I know exactly what that is, because I took my little sister after we went to the movies back out to the North Valleys. And it took us, when I first went out and picked her up in the middle of the afternoon, only took me about 35, 40 minutes, no big deal. to get her home, it took me well into about an hour 20. There were no accidents. It was just the amount of people. It didn't even start to fall off. We were all going 55 miles an hour when we should have been doing 65. It's just the amount of people going out there. It didn't free up until well after Stead Boulevard. Again, it goes back to quality of life. What kind of area do you want to live in? Don't let the developers and the elected representatives tell you what kind of area you will be living in. Tell them what kind of quality of life you want. I'll check you tomorrow. KKFT, it's 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Let's get a little bit of Fox Business and...